Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Show.
We got to get to our next guest. Our next guest was right.
Boy,
just,
was he.
Just ask my wife. I don't like admitting people were right when I was wrong. But our next guest was dead right about the Frank Reich hire. We didn't want to hear it. He told us again when he was on the show. He got even more right, Bone, after he left the show.
He kept getting right.
And he got more righter. And we got to give him credit for that. But it also makes us very intrigued. What does he think about David Tepper's next hire and Dave Canales? What does he think about Dan Morgan being the GM? What does he think about the state of this franchise and Tepper as an owner? We got so many questions to ask him. He is a former longtime executive in the NFL. He hosts the GM Shuffle podcast. He's got a great book out there about the NFL, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on Coaches, Players, and the History of the NFL. He is Michael Lombardi. He joins us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Michael, hello. Happy New Year. How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great. I didn't think you would remember. You accused me of making it personal, and I was just being honest. It was business, Sonny. It was never personal.
So, well, we got to give you your due, man. We're going to give
Michael,
you your due on that, no doubt.
We gave you credit on the air for being right. I believe it was right after week number one of the regular season.
Didn't take long. My goodness.
Well, I appreciate that. It was pretty obvious from the get-go. It was never going to get right, and you know, it's one of those things where the hardest thing to do in sports is to evaluate your own team honestly.
Yeah.
You know, and when someone from the outside evaluates it, you know, you take it as, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They have a vendetta. You know, it's always about, you know, you have an agenda when you say something. And I really never do. I just, what I say what I see, and sometimes I get my foot put in my mouth, but that's what it is.
Well, this one, your foot is nowhere near your mouth. It's in our mouths. All right. And we can definitely admit that, man. And I think it gives you this credibility. Like, I think Panther fans were really intrigued to hear you're coming back on, because there's so many things with this organization that now is driving us crazy and has us worried for the future. Let's start with Dave Canales, though, as this hire. I know some people believe, it's just a little too early for him. He's got, you know, he's got a lot of qualities, but it's a little too early. What do you think of this hire, your honest opinion on this hire?
Well, I think this. I think anytime you hire a guy who's only called plays 1 year in the National Football League, who's young, you better make sure the infrastructure around him is really good to help him become a good head coach. I think one of the fallacies of the NFL is everybody is in search of the next Sean McVay, right? Everybody thinks we're going to find Sean McVay. And my wife has told me for many years, stop looking for the next Bill Belichick. It doesn't exist, you know? And so the Sean McVay doesn't exist. And Dave Canales, I mean, the appeal that you have to see if you just draw a straight line is, well, he made Baker a better player than we could make him. And so that gives him credibility within our building. I don't know if that's accurate. I think sometimes when we draw those straight lines, it's a bias that we call a prophona, which means that you try to connect things that don't connect. And so I truly believe that, you know, a young coach in the league needs somebody to help him become a better head coach. So there's only two people in every organization that really winning matters, right? And so it's the general manager and it's the head coach. Everybody else can do their job and get promoted. Everybody else can do their job and make more money. Everybody else can do their job and keep their job. The only two people that are the residual effect of winning are the GM and the head coach. And young coaches like Canales and some of these other guys, they don't quite understand that. They're still operating in the assistant coach mode, which means they're not challenging the defensive staff. They're not challenging the special teams. They're not challenging player personnel on how to become better. And I think that's the hardest part to get over. And for a team like Carolina that doesn't have draft picks, they're going to need a head coach who has the ability to build a program that is going to challenge the assistants to make the players better and not always say, well, we just need better players. And so that's where I kind of get into. And I think Dan Morgan is going to have to help him quite a bit. And I think the real fundamental question of the Panthers is Dan Morgan able to do that?
Did it surprise you on the Morgan hire that they didn't go clean slate and they hired someone that was working so closely for so long with Scott Fitterer?
No, nothing surprises me in the NFL. Nothing. I mean, it's a league. Bill Walsh told me this in 1984. It is not the league of the best and the brightest. It is the league of who is talking to the owner. In 1977, he told Paul Zimmerman the story of the NFL that truly applies. And he said, at the top of the club, you've got an owner who doesn't have knowledge he should have. He just has the knowledge of the business. He's got a president who's putting perceptions in his ear, or a general manager telling him the players are better than they really are and that the coach is messing everything up. And then that chain of events starts the change of events within an organization. So, look, I don't know how Dan can absolve himself from the decisions of Scott and what has happened in that building since he got there. But obviously he did a good job of, A, convincing the search firm that they hired from the outside that he wasn't involved, and B, you know, he convinced Tepper and his wife that he wasn't involved. So it's a fairly good, he might have a book in him on how to do it. I applaud him for it. I really do. I was never that talented.
We're talking to Michael Lombardi, GM Shuffle Podcast. He's going to tell you about the book, too, that is out there and selling like crazy about the league and how things work. Michael, we've played multiple audio clips of you, whether it's on McAfee's show or your GM Shuffle Podcast, where you've talked about David Tepper. He is the person in Charlotte sports that frustrates us the most, and there are a lot of them that do right now. Right. What do you think? You've been around owners. You've been around the league. How much should we worry that he will never kind of figure it out of how to hire better, how to better judge, you know, executives and coaches and better stay out of things and not meddle? How worried should we be that he never figures it out?
Well, let me start by saying this. I actually thought he was going to be one of the best owners in the league because I thought he was going to be able to apply everything that he did in business and bring it to the NFL. I never thought he was going to be a guy that relied on his cell phone and listened to people, the media people out there that he does. I was shocked by the way in which his behavior has been so different than what his behavior was in business. You know, I thought that David Tepper, as smart as he is, to make as much money as he did in a working class background, that what he achieved is remarkable. Yep. I think the number one job an owner has, this is the only thing an owner should do, is ask questions. He should be the best question asker of all time. He should be direct and ask questions. What he needs to do is set the philosophy of the building. So what that means is he has to come in and say to the people that work for him, this is the kind of team I want. I want to be this kind of team. I don't want players that have off-the-field issues that involve this. I don't want anybody in my organization who does this. I want the model of what I want, and here it is. Now go build it. I'm going to give you 3 years. I'm going to ask you questions, but you better come through with that. That's what owners do. See, what people don't understand is leaders do the right thing. Managers do things right. The owner's the leader. And so he has to set the philosophy. If you think Dan Morgan is going to set the philosophy and compete against the higher levels of the league, I'm not sure we're going to go down that road. So it's a really challenging thing. The owner has to do that. And I had high hopes for David. I really did. I think I sent him my book. I tried to kind of engage him in a sense to where, look, I'm an outside consultant. I'm not looking for a job, but I think I could help you become a better owner. Like my first book, Gridiron Genius, if he would read that, it would make him a better owner because it would allow him to ask questions instead of listening to the media people that he listens to, the insiders that have direct access to him. And so I think that's the biggest concern. And I think to me, he has to change, and he has to use his expertise in his other field to then come into this field. It's the Dunning-Kruger effect in business. It's when you have expertise in another field and you think that expertise applies to a new field.
And it
does in a sense of asking questions, but it doesn't in terms of running the team.
Michael, we were quite stunned in this cycle that Bill Belichick, a guy you know very well, did not get hired anywhere, especially with where we thought it was going in Atlanta. What was your reaction to Belichick not having a job right now and where it goes from here for him?
Well, I mean, if you're really serious about winning, if you're serious about hiring the best, why wouldn't you even call him? Why wouldn't you pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, let's have a conversation? I mean, if that's kind of what you're really serious about, you know, I know he's 71 years old. Well, if you just sat and watched him work and listened to people that have worked with him or talked to people, he's a different 71. I mean, the man will outwork. I promise you, I can promise you on this day today, he would outwork Dan Morgan. There's no question in my mind. He'll outwork him. He'll outwork anybody. Okay, so to not even pick up the phone, doesn't send a message to your fan base that you're really interested. Now, people say, well, Belichick's not a good personnel guy. We can't give him control of the organization. Oh, I got that right. Six Super Bowl trophies just came to that building. Rob Gronkowski just showed up there. People just showed the team just had good players, but they just didn't get there at another way. I mean, it's a lazy narrative that creates itself. And to me, I find it hard to believe that I have people in the league texting me, how is Belichick not on their list? How are they not on Washington's list? It's absurd. But you're really not serious about winning. What you're serious about doing is being involved. I have this website called The Daily Coach, which we write about quite a bit about leadership. It's with the great George Raveling, a former basketball coach at USC, Iowa, and Washington State. He and I started it 4 years ago. Yesterday, we wrote a column called Guard Your Desk, which is basically the NFL. People are intimidated by knowledge in the NFL. They don't want to bring somebody in that could be better than them, so they guard their desk. And I think that ultimately is what happened in Carolina.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, and the book's interesting, too, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on Coaches, Players, and the History of the NFL. Check it out. If you want to hear more from Michael Lombardi, you can find it right there in Football Done Right. Michael, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. Be good.
Best of luck. All right,
I think we need it. Thank you.
If we're calling soon, we got a problem going on here.
Oh, man.
By the way, Tep,
why are you not holding back? Hey, is he, Michael
Tep,
Lombardi?
I know you're listening. Read his books, man. Man, come on.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wes and Walker Show.
All right, let's now go to the Body Works Plus guest hotline and welcome former Panthers coach from those years I just mentioned, 2011 to 2019. He coached Washington from 2020 until this past season. Ron Rivera now on the Body Works Plus guest hotline on Wes and Walker. Coach, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Coach, we really appreciate it. I know you're a busy man, and I did want to ask a little bit after you had your interview with Scott Fowler of the Charlotte Observer. That's among the many reasons I wanted to reach out, because a couple of things that you talked about with Scott, you discussed some of the advice that you might give to Dave Canales after being named the Panthers' next head coach. I thought it was interesting. You said, be patient, and you also said, ask them to be patient like they were for me. I thought that was interesting, yeah. Coach. Like, how patient do you feel David Tepper was once they stepped into new ownership?
Well, I think for the most part, you know, David was pretty patient. I think the biggest thing more than he wanted was, and he wanted to do it his way, which I've got nothing but respect for, because again, you know, you spend that kind of money, you should be able to do it your way. And he gave me two seasons, you know, and for the most part, I think the biggest thing that you know, looking at it and looking at it again was, you know, was it was a tear down, build it back up more so than anything else. And that's really what his whole plan was to come in, take it apart, and then put it back together, which again, you want to build things the right way and you want to build it for the long haul. I mean, we had a great, you know, a great 9-season run when I was in Carolina. And, you know, the most unfortunate part was we didn't have the quarterback. You know, when Cam got hurt in 2006, and then in 2017, you know, Cam had a good year, but you could tell at the end he was losing that shoulder. And then it just, you know, the next two seasons he was injured. And anytime you get in a situation like that, you don't have your guy, your quarterback, that's very tough. It really was. And so I think, again, with him, it was about, okay, you know, he gave me a couple of years. Now let's see about what we can do going forward. And that's really pretty much what he decided to do.
Well, and Coach, I mean, we're hoping Bryce Young can be that quarterback, right? They draft him number one overall. Do you think he can be that QB? And if you were the coach this go around, what kind of things would you do for Bryce in order to ensure that he has the best chance to be that franchise quarterback?
Well, you know, I would take a long look at what New Orleans did, you know, with Drew Brees. You know, you build up that front. You get a massive center and guard combination. Those three big guys have to be stout at the point. They can't allow any push or penetration. And then make sure we got good athletic tackles to wash those outside rushers. And then give him an opportunity to do the thing that he does best, you know, whether it's play action pass, whether it's drop back pass, or it's from the shotgun. These are the things that they need to do with a guy who has that kind of ability. He reads very well. He's a great timing passer. You know, he delivers a good catchable ball. I mean, these are all positive things that, again, coming in, do these things for the quarterback. I like some of the things that Canales was doing, you know, when he had Baker Mayfield last season. I mean, it was very successful. A lot of it's out of the book that they did using Russell Wilson. So there's some crossover there and some potential. Russell's just a big, stout quarterback. He's not quite, you know, a real tall guy. And so he and Bryce are very similar in those respects. Baker Mayfield, very similar in those respects. So, again, to me, take a nice, hard, long look at what those guys do. And, again, you have an opportunity. You got to make sure you have playmakers around him to give him an opportunity to distribute the ball to different guys. And then a good running game is always the best friend for a quarterback.
Ron Rivera joins us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. And Coach, just based off your comments there, as far as trying to fix this team, especially on the offensive side, are linemen going to be your priority over finding that number one wide receiver? Which one do you think is the most important for them to find this offseason?
Well, again, when you get to your pick, you know, in this upcoming draft, you've got to decide which one's available. If the best offensive line left on the board is available, that's the guy you want to take. You can find receivers. You just got to be willing to pay those guys because there's going to be some quality guys that are going to be available come this turnaround, because this is going to be a draft-heavy offensive line and quarterbacks initially, and then it's going to fall back into what I'm hearing as far as playmakers. There's going to be some good running backs and some good wide receivers available in the second, third rounds as well. So, you know, this is a good draft where I think if they can come out with a couple of good picks, I know they're limited in picks, but they can come out with a couple of good ones and then find one or two in free agency that can help, I think this could really help this organization.
Coach, when you got here, you inherited a 2-14 football team. And so from a culture perspective, what was your goal and when did you know that it was starting to work?
You know, it was first and foremost was to find the quarterback. You know, we had a philosophy that we were going to protect this quarterback, and then we got to make sure we have playmakers around him. And one of the things that I was fortunate enough when I came into it was, you know, we still had Jordan Groves. You know, we still had Ryan Khalil. You know, with those two guys, you could build around him, and we did. We were able to find some solid, stout offensive linemen that really fit the bill for us. And then it was find playmakers. And one of the really good things, and I got to give credit to Marty Herney, you know, he went out and he got Greg Olsen right off the bat. We had a great combination of running backs, you know, and D'Angelo and Jonathan, and you know, from there everything just kind of blossomed and took off. And then again, you know, to me, he's a future Hall of Famer. And we had Steve Smith, And so when you have playmakers and we were able to protect Cam, we did a lot of good things. Remember, my first 2 years, the hardest thing we had to find was the defense. And once we drafted Luke the next year in my second season, you could see the potential for us for growth. So to me, I would say was once we had Luke, I knew it was just a matter of finding the rest of the pieces. In 2013, we put it together, and I thought, you know, the things that we did from 2013 on were really, really good again until Cam got hurt in 2016. So we really took off in 2013.
It's funny. I feel like we have two of the 2011 Panthers newcomers on the show today. We had Greg Olson on earlier. We just need to go get Cam, and then we can hit the trifecta. That, simple as that.
Yes, you could. Most certainly. Most certainly.
It's Ron Rivera joining us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline here on Wes and Walker. You know, Ron, speaking more to what Wes was just asking you, the reporting on the Panthers right now is that the culture is often described as dysfunction, at least with what we've been hearing, what we've seen reported. You were hired in Washington to fix a culture that also had what was a terrible reputation at the time. How do you fix that here, Ron? Like, how would you begin to fix the culture here if you were taking over in Carolina this go around?
Well, I think Mr. Tepper did exactly what he felt he needed to do, and that was he went out and found a young, ambitious head coach. You know, a guy that's coming off of a successful run in Tampa Bay, and I think the thing that Coach Canales has to continue to do is now feed off of that, build from there. Again, make sure he's holding everybody accountable, starting with himself first and foremost. And as these guys continue to put these pieces into place, you've got to stick to that. That was one of the things that we were able to do early on. And then the thing that really helped me was the locker room took charge of themselves. When the locker room can do the things that they've done and keep adding players, you have a chance. You know, one of the things I always tell people, I knew the culture was great in 2015 when, my brother had passed away of cancer, unfortunately, and right in the middle of training camp, I had to go to the funeral. And so when I went away to the funeral, I talked to the team captains, I talked to Steve Wilks, who was my assistant head coach at the time, and I left and I missed two practices and two team meetings. And when I got back, Danny Morrison came to me and said, "Coach, it was tremendous. Your captains took over. Coach Wilks was amazing." And not to put anything on you, Coach, but the truth is, it was like you never left. And so that's when I knew we had a good opportunity to have a great season in 2015. Was because the players took charge, my coaches stepped up, and that really kind of signified that we were headed in the right direction.
Coach, how hard will it be for these guys to shake off what happened this past season?
If you could have some success early on, it'll be easy to shake it off. And that's why I said, folks have got to be patient. The fan base has to be patient. Just know that Coach Canales is going to come in and do the best he can and do everything he can to endear the fan base. Because, again, it's a good fan base, and we know that. We saw it. We saw how everybody responded when things started to go in the right direction and our guys got out into the community. And again, to me, this is, it's not hard to be appreciative when you're doing your best, trying as hard as you can, and at the same time, making sure and recognizing that, hey, the fan base, be patient, just understand what we're trying to do, and doing everything they can, showing the fans that they're doing and they're committed, it'll help.
Former Panther coach, former Washington coach, Ron Rivera joining us now on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Ron, a couple more questions before we get you out of here. I know you talked with Scott Fowler about this as well, but you had a couple of interviews for a defensive coordinator job this offseason, including a reported Rams interview over the weekend. Ron, how did that interview go? And do you expect to be coaching somewhere this year or next season?
Well, it's been going well. It really has. I've talked with several other teams behind the scenes. And just kind of waiting things out. I can be patient. I'm not in any hurry. That's one of the nice things about it. I've got a few options outside of football as well that's still connected to football. So we'll see how all those things go in the next week or so, and should really have answers once we get past the Super Bowl. So, again, I'm in no hurry. I'm kind of enjoying my time. I'm out here in California with the wife. We got an opportunity to come out to Monterey, California, my hometown area, and just get away from everything. And, of course, you guys call me up and drag me right back.
I'm sorry. Oh, after he said that, now he broke up, and now he just decided to hang up on us. I think Ron is actually breaking up with some of the signal. Ron, are you there?
Here, guys. I'm here. I'm back. Hello.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We got you. We want to keep dragging you. I'm sorry, Ron. Don't enjoy the California sun just yet. We still got to keep you in the depths of the city of Charlotte. I did want to ask you, would you take a job outside of defensive coordinator if it was anything, I guess, quote unquote, below what a defensive coordinator would be in the NFL?
You know what? I really often thought about would be a really cool thing to do was to be connected with a team. And work primarily with the head coach, a young head coach, and just sit there and talk to him about what the pitfalls are and what the positive things are. And hey, you know, and be that sounding board. Because you know what happened for me? I'll tell you a quick story. So after my second season, okay, we had a good first year, finished strong. We had a good start to the second year, but then we kind of petered. And then at the very end, we got rolling again. I think we won 5 out of our last 6. And when I sat down with Mr. Richardson after season 2, we had a great conversation. He liked my plan going forward. And the one thing he said to me is, you know, Ron, you need a mentor. You need to have somebody you can rely on, you can call and talk with. And I realized at that point in time, you know, I didn't hire a former head coach. I don't have somebody around me like that. And I always felt bad about calling, you know, Coach Reed or Coach North Turner and to ask them questions, you know, because they're busy too. So I felt bad about that. So I really didn't have a go-to guy. And so I made some mistakes, obviously, my first couple seasons. I still make mistakes, too, but my first 2, most certainly. So he tells me, he says, you know what, you should reach out to John Madden. Well, fortunate enough, I knew Coach Madden. So when I called him, you know, on Mr. Richardson's urging, we had a great conversation, and he said, I'd be happy to sit down and mentor you. And so that started what became a really good friendship for me and a great mentorship because he really helped me. And head in the right direction. And so I was thinking about that. And I talked to the commissioner one day about a mentorship type program. I said, you know, that's something I would love to do at some point is be able to work with young head coaches and say, hey, guys, you know, this is the thing that you got to be aware of. These things you got to, you know, think about. And you should have a veteran guy around you that can give you great advice and tell you whether you're doing a good job, you're doing a bad job, tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, and be completely honest. And I've always thought that would be a cool thing to be able to do. So, yeah, when I do something like that, absolutely. Just so I could help out, I'd be happy to.
Coach, last thing I got for you is this defense was 29th in scoring but 3rd in total defense. What do you see that this defense needs, and do you think that Dave Canales should keep Ejiro Avero?
Well, I think the biggest thing is again, you know, first and foremost, you can't rely on what yards are all about. It's really about play in the red zone. It's really about play on points allowed, takeaways, stuff like that. I mean, it's great to have that low number in terms of total yards. But to me, the real key, more so than anything else, is all the stuff that's about red zone scoring. Two-minute efficiency. It's an interesting set of dynamics. I mean, he's got to sit there and he's got to really look at what's happened. And is there improvement, too? Take a look at the last 4 or 5 games. See what that trend is. Those are the things that can help you make decisions on coaches and players more so than anything else. You know, and then again, take a long look at his total body of work. I mean, he's a good, young, dynamic coach, has a great feel and understanding of football, and he comes from a good background. You know, he's been connected with winners, so. You got to really look at guys like that and just say, wow, okay, you know, maybe a little bit more work. Maybe we're missing a player or two, you know, because, again, you know, we didn't take off and Sean McDermott didn't become the guy he became until we got Luke Kuechly. And a lot of people got to understand this is a player-driven game. If you have players that can do things and make plays for you at the right time, you're heading in the right direction.
We dragged him out of his offseason oasis. He was enjoying his time, and we forced him to fix Carolina's problems already after having done it in 2011. We appreciate you helping us out here, former Panther coach and Washington coach Ron Rivera on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Ron, go enjoy life again. We appreciate the time.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked because Instant Replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
We, of course, are tracking everything that's going on in the Panthers offseason world, including Dave Canales and Dan Morgan being down at the Senior Bowl. That is where our next guest is in Mobile, Alabama. Joe Person joining us here on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. Greetings from Mobile, Joe. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. Sun is out. Got to watch some footballs in the air today. Hard to complain about writing and talking about football for a living.
Very much so. So I know that you said this on your Twitter account. It basically is the worst kept secret in the world now. Looks like Brad Itzik is the new offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers under Dave Canales, reuniting that relationship that they had in Tampa Bay. What do we know about the Panthers' new OC, and what help and support will he give to the new head coach? Because it does seem like Canales is going to call his own plays.
Yeah, for sure. The Panthers, I think, Derek Gant reported that when they hired Canales that he was expected to be the play caller, and that certainly I've heard nothing to different than that. But Itzik's an interesting guy. Like he's got a couple generations. His grandfather had ties to the NFL, but so did his dad, who you'll remember was the Jets general manager. He was an assistant general manager, John Itzik was, in Tampa Bay, of course, where the son ended up with Canales. The two were together in Seattle as well. So it was kind of starting to be a real Seattle flavor to this whole operation with Dan Morgan and Dave Canales and now Brad Itzik. But yeah, Itzik's got an interest. I was just kind of reading up on him for you know, my column in The Athletic tomorrow. But he played football at Wake Forest. And then after that, though, he did a sabbatical in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And he's got, like, you know, a math degree. And he almost seems like he's going to be more of a cap guy than an offense coordinator. But sharp guy, and obviously there's that familiarity there that we did not see last year on Frank Reich's staff, where Dave Tepper and Frank Reich and Fitter made this bring in, and particularly Thomas Brown on the offensive side, who had not worked with Frank Reich previously.
Obviously, when you think about the hire in a vacuum, Panther fans are at least looking cautiously optimistic. Do you feel like the tenor of the hire changes with the news that we found out today that it looks like Ben Johnson is staying put in Detroit?
Yeah, a little bit. And I had somebody ask me, why the Panthers moved on from Ben Johnson. And, I do think the money was a factor. I mean, Dave Tepper's got a ton of money, newsflash. Hmm. But he was criticized for resetting the market with Matt Rhule in terms of a college coach and what you would pay a college coach. But I mean, like, Dave Tepper still doesn't like to feel like he's getting played, and I don't know if that was the case. I think that was part of it. Like I say, reports that Ben Johnson wanted as much as like $15 million a year, which The previous high, as my knowledge of a first-year coach, was set last year with D'Amico Ryans at $10 million. So this would have been really blowing the cap off of it. And then the second thing was, you know, I think, you know, around the league, and this, I've been told that this got back to David Tepper, that the understanding was that Ben Johnson had his sights set on Washington and thought that, you know, I think everyone thought that was a done deal, including David Tepper. And so the Panthers, rather than sit around, obviously Dan Morgan, as we talked about, has this very strong connection to Dave Canales. And I don't know, you make an argument that maybe the Panthers should have been a little more patient, but you're right. I mean, the way things played out today, it would have been a very bad look for Dave Tepper to be left at the altar 2 years in a row by Ben Johnson.
Thursday, the press conference with Dave Canales and Dan Morgan. Joe, you'll be there. In terms of your biggest unanswered question, what do you hope to find out on Thursday definitively?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. A question about a coming question. Here it is. I'd love to know what their plan is for Bryce Young. Dave Canales has earned a reputation the last 2 years as being a quarterback whisperer. It would be cool if he is very specific and kind of lays out a plan for Bryce Young. And I don't know why he wouldn't. Like, you know, he's clearly watched a lot of tape of Bryce Young before he interviewed twice with the Panthers. He would have done his homework on the number one overall pick. And it's not like it's going to be a trade secret. Like, let's hear how you think you can get Bryce Young going in the right direction. And same with Dan Morgan. Like, how can you better support Bryce Young that, you know, in a fashion more efficiently than Scott Fitter was able to? So that's what I'd like to hear Thursday, first and foremost.
There was as we're talking with Joe Person, who's live at the Senior Bowl here, we'll get into that in just a moment, there's obviously, you know, when you look at the way that the Panthers have structured their offseason, when you think about the hire with Dan Morgan, the hire with Dave, Dan Morgan, I should say, the hire with Dave Canales, and then the impending hire with Brant Tillis, it does seem like there's at least more of an extension of this is Dan Morgan's shop, and David Tepper is somewhat of an overseer. Are you getting that vibe, or do you feel like this is a scenario where some of the same problems are still kind of creeping up from a meddling standpoint, or do you feel like there's less involvement from ownership in this point?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it does feel like the Brant Tillis hire is kind of a key component in that, because as myself and others have reported, they really are modeling this new restructure in the front office on what San Francisco has done. And that is have, you know, football guys in John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, obviously run the football. And then San Francisco has this, executive vice president of football operations, Prague Morath, who is sort of like a go-between between Jed York and football. And because Jed York, before Dave Tepper, you know, there were a lot of rumblings that he was a little too handsy in the day-to-day stuff in San Francisco. So it's been a very good model for San Francisco. Sportsology, the firm that's working with David Tepper had worked with him on these searches, they were in San Francisco doing work with the 49ers around that time. So, yeah, I think that's promising. And Brant Tillis, as you said, kind of the key to it, playing that role of Prague Morath in San Francisco. So we'll see. I have spoken with agents and some team officials here this week about what they know about Tillis, and he comes very, you know, he's very sharp guy, like kind of like the background we were talking about with Idzik, but even more so, like the first thing out of everybody's mouth that I asked was just how smart Brant Tillis has been in the Chiefs front office.
Talking with Joe Person here of The Athletic, Sports Radio 927 WFNZ. Did want to ask you real quick before moving to the Senior Bowl stuff. Jiro Averro, what sense are you getting as how easy it's going to be to keep him in that role? Do we know that that's something that Dave Canales still wants and the organization still wants?
Yeah, they do. They certainly want to keep him. And I get both sides of this. I mean, you know, you have David Tepper saying, like, look, you're under contract, and we think the world of you, and you and your defensive staff and your defensive players did a great job last year. We want to keep that intact. But then you've got Jiro Averro, who is, as you know, is kind of an up and comer and wants to be a head coach one day. And he did not sign, you know, when he signed with the Panthers, it was to work with Frank Reich or for Frank Reich. And that didn't happen. That didn't work out. And, I think there's perhaps some hesitancy about not getting in a situation or staying in a situation where, you know, on a team that finished 2-15 last year and looks like it's going to be a fairly lengthy rebuild. And could that hurt Averro's head coaching prospects? These windows can close on these candidates. So, yeah, that's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. And by the way, he's still, you know, in the mix for the head coaching role in Seattle. I don't know if Dan Quinn's going to get that or not. It kind of feels that way, but who knows with the way some of this, you know, this cycle has played out.
You are in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. What has caught your eye specifically in terms of what the Panthers might be looking for?
Oh, man, I'll be honest. I have not gotten to watch a whole ton of football. I know that the North Carolina wideout, Devontae Walker, he was, I guess it goes by Tez, he was very fast today running around on the artificial turf here at the University of South Alabama. I had hoped to really take a look at Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, but that didn't play out because I was kind of chasing agents and coaches today. But he's here with Spencer Rattler, a couple of Gamecocks. Obviously, the Panthers aren't in the market for a quarterback, but Leggett is a big physical receiver. Probably, who knows, seems like he'll be there in the second round. But I, like I said, I did not, at full transparency, get a chance to see him all that much today.
Also, Joe Person has a one-on-one chat with Greg Olson on The Athletic. He has done the media blitz. He was also on our air today talking about the hardest yard on gala coming up here later on in the month of February. But you were able to kind of break some news about how he's exploring all options. I found that very fascinating as you were kind of first on the scene with making sure that Greg is open to what he might be able to do next year from a broadcasting standpoint.
Yeah, that's a crummy situation for Olsen, but he knew what he was getting into. Like, this Tom Brady thing didn't just crop up today. I mean, they've known this was coming for the better part of a year or more. And so, Greg, I mean, you can speak to this better than I can because you're in the industry, but clearly he's been overwhelmed. The reviews on him have been overwhelmingly positive. He's smart. He has a way with words. I mean, he was always kind of like a locker room lawyer in Carolina. And I don't mean that in a negative way, just that, you know, if you needed a comment or a quote from somebody on any topic, but especially kind of meatier subjects, Olsen was really good. He just had a way of putting things in perspective. We've seen that the last couple of years on these broadcasts. So I feel pretty confident Greg Olsen is going to land on his feet, be it with Fox, you know, maybe goes into that number two analyst role and they see if Tom Brady's even any good at this, because they know Greg Olsen.
I have my doubts on whether or not Brady is good enough or even better than Olsen, just because of the fact that, I agree with you. I'd vouch for Olsen on the way that he has handled himself, because I think he's one of the best, if not the best, doing it right now from an analyst standpoint. Joe Person's stuff is always great at The Athletic. We will see you on Thursday, Joe. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care.
You tuned into instant replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.